awesome? I tell you, the Lord is good. You know that? And that's a great scripture when you think about it, because when you look at the life of how's that? That sounds better. All right. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm not feeling good, so everything sounds loud to me right now. I'll be honest with you. So anyway, but no, it's awesome. So for today's generation, when you consider the fact that they're really into this hip hop and into this rap, and you know, it doesn't matter. You know, the circumstances are different. We know that the circumstances are different, but the message is still the same. His name is Jesus. And if you don't speak the language, you could have the best solution in the world, but if you can't speak the language and they can't understand it, then what good is it? And that's the gift that Alvin has. He speaks the language. And we thank God. Let's give the Lord a praise clap for Brother Alvin. And I'm so excited to be here. Pastor Tom, it's so good to see you again. And it's good to see everybody, because I haven't seen you for a couple of years. And as Tom was saying, you know, the Lord has done some great things in our life, my wife and I, my family. We're really blessed. You know, since I was last here, the Lord has given us an opportunity to be the youth pastor at Brooklyn Tabernacle up in New York. And it's what such a great, great, awesome opportunity and awesome chance to do ministry in a different environment. And you know, it's so funny, because you never know what God is doing and what he's preparing you for. You know, and sometimes when God gives you a vision, he always gives us provision, but he doesn't always let us know what the end result is going to be. And so, you know, the best thing that we can do that I understand is that we can just make the day the best possible day that we can make it. You know, and in order to do that, you know, in all days, whenever you go through a day, you know, it's full of trials and tribulations. You never know sometimes what the day is going to bring. And a lot of times what happens is when God places something on your heart, the devil comes along to try to distract you. That's the trials and tribulations. And we have to understand that when the devil brings those trials and tribulations along, what is he trying? The main reason he brings it is because you're on course. You're on course. You're going down that road that God has called you to go down. And not only that, you know, when I was a kid, we used to play this game. I forget the name of it. You say, am I hot? You're getting hotter. No, you're getting cold. You know, that kind of stuff. I forget the name of it. But when you're getting hotter and hotter, that's when the devil will throw a bigger distraction, a bigger obstacle in your way. And the whole purpose behind this is to get you off course. It's to get you to change your focus. And we got to know that when the devil is really, really attacking us, that's the time we got to really stay focused and really trust and believe God's word. Not believe in God's word, but believe God's word. Take God's word for what it is. Because I'm telling you right now, the devil is a liar and God's word is true. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this awesome time. We thank you that you said when two or three are gathered in your name, we know that you're in the midst. We know that you're here right now. So Lord, we ask right now, in the name of Jesus, dear God, that you shower us with your anointing. That you wash us with your love, dear God. That, Lord, you just have your way. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let us be on one accord, dear God. And we be forever grateful to give you all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what the Lord laid on my heart today is what I want to talk about today is knowing who you are. Knowing who you are. You think that's something really simple. You know, you would think that as Christians that we know who we are. Well, you would think that just as people we would know who we are. I mean, because you think about it, on the day that you're born, you're given a name. And you enter into a family. And that's part of your identity, especially in the earth realm. And so, you know, you go by the name. My last name is Sidnor. His last name is Bowman. And so on and so forth. And that's part of your family. It's part of your heritage. It's part of your identity. But you know, I discovered something. You know, when I was in Brooklyn, New York, and I was walking downtown, and right where Brooklyn Tabernacle is located, it's located right by this area called Fulton Mall. Fulton Mall is the second most trafficked area in New York. And in Fulton Mall, I mean, there's thousands of people walking down the mall every day. And so one day when I'm walking down the mall, I'm looking at people. And all of you know how sometimes God gives you this terrific insight where you can see past a person's physical appearance, past their representative, past what they have on, past what they're driving, past what they're doing, and start looking into the real person. And I started discovering that there were a lot of people walking down Fulton Mall who didn't know who they were. And how could I see that? Because I started looking at some of the activities that they were participating in. I saw people walking down Fulton Mall, and down Fulton Mall you had people standing there selling all kinds of stuff. There were people selling CDs and books and clothes and music and all kinds of stuff. But there are also people selling stuff like drugs, and you saw women standing there selling their body, and you saw people participating in all manner of evil. And it occurred to me that these people didn't know who they were. But here was the problem. See, because they didn't know, they didn't know that they didn't know. And sometimes when you tell people who don't know that they don't know, they think that you don't know. And they think that the person that knows don't know what they're talking about. And so the more you tell them that they don't know, they try to show you that you don't know. And so that's a bunch of confusion. So you had people standing there, and I'm looking at them, and I'm praying for them, and I'm watching them. And if you would ask them, what were they doing and why were they doing it, you know, they would say, listen, I'm okay. I know what I'm doing, and I know what I'm going to get out of that. But God has a word for that. It's in his word. It says there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof leads to destruction. So all of a sudden you had these people there, and they're walking there, and they're walking down the mall. I'm walking down the mall, and I'm watching them what they're doing. And it was very, very clear to me that they didn't know who they were. And you know, my heart went out to them because I was looking at them and I saw myself and I realized that that used to be me. You know, I tell you, you know, but for the grace of God, there goes I. And I thank God for his grace and mercy. I thank God for his word. I thank God for saving me. I thank God for choosing me. And because if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I know where I would be. I'm telling you, I was in that pit of miry clay. I know what it's like. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be lost. I know what it's like to be lost, but to think that you know where you're going. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to have been chosen by God, but at the same time being chosen by God, God having his anointing on your life, yet at the same time, you don't really understand the anointing. You don't understand the purpose for your life. You don't understand who you are. In other words, you don't know your identity in Christ. I know what that's like. I tell you what, I know what it's like for people to come to you and look at you as a leader, hoping that you have the answer, hoping that you have the key, hoping that you can be the one like Moses to bring them out of the promised land, but you also in the battle stuck in a battle yourself. I know what that's like. And I know what it's like being able to sit there on my bed praying and asking God, God, why did you choose me and what did you choose me for? Who am I and what am I supposed to do with my life? But God had a word for that. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3:16. First Corinthians 3:16. When you got to say amen. And if you can't find it, say, help me, Jesus. First Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Know ye not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? And as I mentioned to you earlier, my subject today is knowing who you are. Remember I talked about knowing your identity in Christ? You know, that was a key revelation for me. You know, because once I got saved and I knew I was saved, I knew that hell was no longer my final destination, but I didn't know who I was in Christ. You know, I didn't know how to live my life as a Christian because I had never been a Christian before. And so people were telling me all kinds of ways I should live and all kinds of things I should do. But who was I really in Christ? You see, true identity in Christ will keep you connected to your purpose in Christ. See, I'm telling you right now, well-meaning people, and I was sharing this with my wife today, well-meaning people will speak negative things into your life just because of their lack of understanding. My sister at Brooklyn Tabernacle right now, his wife, his mom, is on the life support machine. And so while his mom was on the life support machine, God has spoken some things into his life. God has told him some things about this situation. And people have come up to him and tell him, I know this must be hard for you. I know you're going through. And here's what he says he does. He says, he's sitting there and he's saying, yeah, you know, it's really hard for me. It really is. And he said, now you really want to know how I feel? And then he says, do you really want to know how I feel? Because God has told him that in order to go to heaven, you got to die. And he said, God has told him to live as Christ and to die as gain. God has told him that the grave has no victory and death has no sting. God has told him that his mom is in the right place at the right time, serving the right God. So God has given him peace in a situation. But true identity in Christ will keep you connected to your purpose in Christ. You see, sometimes, even well-meaning people, even Christians sitting in this room, we don't really understand the word of God, and we don't understand who we are in Christ. We need to understand that. And the only way you're going to understand who you are in Christ is spending time with the Lord. You got to pray, you got to fast, and you got to read your word. Because if you don't pray, fast, and read your word, I'm telling you right now, when God speaks, you won't recognize his voice. God could show up right now, and we would miss him. Do you know if God called us, we would need caller ID to recognize his name? I'm telling you right now, when God, listen, if you don't spend time with God, see, there are many voices out here. There are many voices. And God's voice, here's what he said in his word. He said, my sheep know my voice. So how are you going to be his sheep if you're not spending time with the shepherd? We have to spend time with the shepherd, because true identity in Christ will keep you connected to your purpose in Christ. Know ye not that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Think about this. A temple is a dwelling place. A temple is a dwelling place. Now, what I want to ask you, in your dwelling place, is God a guest there or is God a resident? Now, whatever he is, it is what it is. But if God is a guest in your temple, here's what I know. Al, when you stayed in a hotel last night, right? Now, staying in a hotel, when you stay in a hotel as a guest, you don't have authority to rearrange anything, do you? Whatever, however it is, whatever's going on, they got the TV here, they got the bed there, if they got the medicine cabinet here, they got the bathroom there, if they got this rug on the floor, you have no authority to rearrange anything. So if God is a guest in your temple, then God doesn't have any authority in your life. But if God is a resident there, residents have authority. For instance, if you come to my house and there's something in my house that I don't like the way it is, guess what? As a resident there, I can move it around. As a resident there, I can take this out, move this in. I can move the TV here if I want to put the TV on the ceiling. Guess what? As a resident, I have the authority to do that. So you need to ask yourself, is God a guest in your temple or is he a resident in your temple? You see, because guests have no authority and residents have authority. See, a temple is a sacred place. Not anyone or anything can enter a temple. And see, we need to understand that, because a lot of times, here's what we say, and I watch it on TV. I watch TV whenever I have a chance. And one of the things I like to watch, I like reality shows and award shows. And sometimes you watch these award shows, and you'll see one of those rappers. They'll get up on the stage, and they'll start saying all this crazy stuff. You know, they be cussing, using profanity, using all kinds of stuff. And then they say, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, what Lord and Savior are you talking about? You know what I mean? They'll get up there and they'll say all kinds of stuff that's contrary to the word of God. They live lives that's contrary to the word of God. And here's what they say, when I die and go to heaven. See, they don't understand that when you die, it doesn't mean that you automatically go to heaven. You're going to go somewhere. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. See, a temple is a sacred place. I hear people sometimes, here's what they say. They say, I know that my grandmother, my mother, my father, my loved one is watching. They say that all the time, that they know that their loved one is watching them here on earth. Well, if our loved ones are watching, how much more so is God watching? You see, if we really understand that there's certain things that we just won't say, and there's certain places, certain things that we won't say, and there's certain things that we just won't do, and there's certain places where we just don't go. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of God is living in us. It's alive, and it's living in us. And sometimes we don't know, because we don't know who we are. We don't know that the power that we have. See, what the devil meant for evil, God will use it for good. Sometimes we get so caught up when the devil starts attacking us, that's his job. Listen, and the only reason the devil's attacking you is because you're on the street. He don't want you in his house, and the last place he wants you is in his bedroom. So the devil's going to attack you. Think it not strange. We think something's wrong with us because the devil is attacking us. The devil only attacks you because you're a threat to him. If you're not a threat to the devil, guess what? He ain't going to bother you. Why? You're not a threat. Why would he bother you? He's only going to bother you when you're a threat to him. Know ye not that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? A temple is a sacred place. Man, we got to understand that. Man, we're special to God. We really are. This body that God gave us is special. We got to protect it. We got to take care of it. And we got to feed it. For man cannot live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We got to understand that. We got to get this word in us. See, the word is where the power is. The word is where the breakthrough comes through. The word is where the change comes through. The word is the way that you defeat the devil. See, a lot of times we got that scripture wrong in James, where it says resist the devil and the devil gonna flee. That ain't how it works. You gotta read the whole scripture. It says submit to God. See, we gotta submit to God first. Submit to God. Bow down to God's will. Submit to God. Then you can resist the devil and the devil will flee. You can resist the devil all you want without submitting to God, and the devil ain't going nowhere. As a matter of fact, it'll get even worse in your life. And then we gotta understand something. See, sometimes, I read in my Bible, it says that Paul prayed to God 3 times to remove the thorn from his side. And God didn't do it. And sometimes we think that there's something wrong with us because God doesn't remove that from us. That could be the thing that's keeping us focused. That could be the thing that's keeping us on point. That could be the thing that's keeping us humble. See, just because God don't answer your prayers right away don't mean something's wrong with you. His ways are higher than our ways. We don't know what God's plan is for our life. We don't know. All we know is we want to serve the God. What that scripture says right there. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's our job. Give God our best. Why? Because God gave us his best. Amen. Give the Lord a praise clap. Repeat after me. You're sacred. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, say, you're sacred. Turn to your other neighbor and tell him, say, you're sacred. Listen. Not only are you sacred, but you're a sanctuary. You are. You're a sanctuary. You are. And this is a sanctuary. And a sanctuary, three things happen in a sanctuary. And three things should happen in your sanctuary. I'm going to share these three things with you, and then we can get up out of here. Here are the three things. The first thing that happens in a sanctuary is a place of revelation. You know, when you come to church on Sunday, and we know Pastor Tom is a wonderful man of God, labors before the Lord, spends time with the Lord, hears from God, all of that stuff. So when you come to church on Sunday, you're expecting to hear a revelational word from God, amen? When you come to church on Sunday, you're expecting to hear a life-changing word from God. Amen. When you come to church on Sunday, you're counting on the fact that Pastor Tom has spent time with God. God has spoken to him directly concerning this congregation. Amen. The second thing that happens in a sanctuary is a sanctuary is a place of sacrifice. You know, when you come to the sanctuary sometimes, well, it's a couple sacrifices that happen. One is sometimes it's a sacrifice to get up on Sunday and come to church. Let's be honest. I mean, really, it is. I mean, when you think about it, some of the stuff that we're going through during the week, you know, we work 5-6 days a week. Sometimes on Sunday, you know, you get up and, you know, you want to stay in bed. You know, you want to rest. You know, you say God works 6 days on the seventh day. He rests. Sometimes we think that to mean that we should stay home from church on Sunday. Right? But the fact of the matter is, it's a place of sacrifice. And then sometimes you come to church on Sunday and, you know, you want to bring your sacrifice to the altar. You know, you get there and you want to pray, and it's a sacrifice. So that's the second thing that happens, you know, in the sanctuary. And then the third thing that happens in the sanctuary is the sanctuary is a place of celebration. Amen. You know, when you think about everything you've been through all week, the devil been nipping at your heels, you know, people been bothering you at work, in your neighborhood, and you come to church and you made it through another week. And you get to the sanctuary and you just want to celebrate. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just want to celebrate you today. I just want to bless your name. I mean, really. You know, because I know that when I was a kid, we had this game. Now, different place they call it. It's called tag. But in Baltimore, we used to call it it. And how it worked is if I got you, you were it. Right? But now, how it worked was like this. So we're playing it. There was a home base. Right? As long as I was on the home base, right, I was safe. So I'd be on the home base, I'd be like, yeah, you can't get me. I'd be celebrating, right, because I'm at home base, right? It was a celebration. But it's the same way here. Do you know the devil been trying to get you all week, but we made it to the base, the home base, which is the sanctuary, and we should be celebrating, saying, yeah, yeah, devil, you can't get me, amen? Because once again, God showed himself strong on our behalf. Get the Lord a praise clap. Well, let's talk a little bit about the revelational word that we should get on Sundays when we come to the sanctuary. I want to share with you this principle. It's called the principle of equivalent effect. The principle of equivalent effect. It's a revelational word. I want you to write this down. Get this. This word right here will change your life. It's called the principle of equivalent effect. When you understand this, listen, this is why we quote scripture. This is why God gave us his word. It's called the principle of equivalent effect. It's based on the unchanging nature of God. The God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's based on this principle, that God's word won't come back void. When God sends his word out, and it lands on fertile ground, it prospers right there. It explodes right there. And then here's what it does. Here's the great part. Then it reports back to God that it's done exactly what God sent it out to do. Give the Lord a praise clap for that. Amen. What am I saying? Principle of equivalent effect. Every believer has not only the right, the power and authority, that if you receive that same word that God spoke to the original here, if you receive it in the same spirit, it'll have the same power in your life. Does that make sense? Give me that opportunity. Let me give you an example. Let's say if you were in a dead situation. And remember when God spoke to Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And when Lazarus heard that word, all of a sudden Lazarus came out of a dead situation and he was alive. Do you know if you receive that same word in that same spirit in your dead situation, do you know your dead situation can come alive? Why? Because God's word don't come back void. Principle of equivalent effect. Based on the unchanging nature of God, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that if we receive that same word and the same spirit of the original here, it'll have the same power in our life. Listen, when Jesus healed the blind man, when Jesus healed that blind man, with that same word that he used, when he spoke into that situation, if we receive it with that same spirit, wherever you need healing, guess what? You'll have it in your life. That's the principle of equivalent effect. Based on the unchanging nature of God. Every believer has the power and authority and has the right, the ordained right, for that word to have the same power in your life. That's why we quote scripture. We quote scripture because I'm counting on the fact that when I quote that scripture, that it's going to have the same power in my life that I had in the original hearer's life. You got to know that. Man, you got to walk with that. Because otherwise, when Jesus spoke that word to the devil, like what I said, we submit to God and resist the devil, and the devil going to flee. When Jesus spoke that word to the devil, how did he defeat the devil? With the word of God. And I'm counting on the fact that if I use that same word in the same spirit, to have the same power in my life against the devil that it had in Jesus' life. That's why we quote scripture. Principle of equivalent effect, based on the unchanging nature of God. Second thing. The sanctuary is also a place of sacrifice. Sacrifice. See, a sacrifice isn't a sacrifice unless it costs you something. It really isn't. It's not a sacrifice if it don't cost you anything. A sacrifice is supposed to cost you something. It cost God something. He gave his only begotten son. It cost him something. God gave us his very best. Why? So we could have our very best. A sacrifice ought to cost you something. But here's the problem sometimes when we look at that word sacrifice. See, here's what we think, and I said this earlier. Here's what we think sometimes. We think that when we come to the sanctuary, we bring our sacrifice, we think that God wants us to bring our sacrifice to the altar. That's not what God wants. God wants us to be a sacrifice on the altar. Why? He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to what? Offer your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. Our whole life should be a sacrifice to God. It's not our life anymore. Our life don't belong to us. It belongs to him. It ought to cost you something. You know, I love it. You know, remember that song, we bring the sacrifice of praise. You see, listen, a sacrifice of praise, when's the best time to praise God? When you feel like it? What about when you don't feel like it? What about when you're happy? What about when you're sad? What about when nothing's going on? What about when something's going on? When's the best time to praise God? All the time. We need to praise God all the time. Let's give the Lord a praise clap. Let's give him the sacrifice of praise. Listen, I'm talking about now. Think about this. Maybe you don't feel like praising God. Well, that's a sacrifice. That's the best time to praise Him. When you don't feel like it. I don't feel like praising God, but I'm going to give God what? The sacrifice of praise. I'm going to praise Him anyway. What about this? Let me help you out. Everybody do like this. You know, think about, like right now, I'm having a hard time breathing. I really am. Because I'm struggling with this flu. But I do have breath, right? You do. We do that. Everybody got breath. Now, this is what my Bible says. It says, let everything that have breath, what? Praise the Lord. So if you just took in breath, what do you ought to do right now? Praise the Lord. Come on, get the Lord a praise clap. The Bible says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. And see, here's the thing. See, we take that for granted. See, we take breathing for granted until you can't breathe. We take breathing for granted. We walk around, yeah, I'm breathing. What's up? You know, ain't no big deal, I'm breathing. But then when you can't breathe, all of a sudden breathing becomes very important, right? Listen, we take life important. We take life for granted. Think about it. Man, we make plans and all. Oh, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to do this and tomorrow I'm going to do that. And we think one day is not important. Try missing a day. You'll see how important one day is. Listen, man, we take things for granted that we shouldn't take for granted. That's why this sacrifice, man, I know you may not feel like, I'm going to be honest with you. This morning, my wife would tell you, I couldn't even get out of the bed. I mean, the devil was working with me, man. He was telling me, you know, call Pastor Tom. He'll be all right. I know he got a word and all of this kind of stuff. I mean, that's what the devil was telling me. He was saying, look, just stay in bed. I can tell you right now, 8:20 this morning, I was still in bed. Hadn't done anything. That's how bad I was hurting. But it's a sacrifice. And you know what? God honors your sacrifice. He does. He honors your sacrifice, man. And listen, God wants our sacrifice. That's why the word, I love it in Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to offer your body as a what? Living sacrifice. I love those posters you got out there. Is this man important to you? Is this woman important to God? See, it's a sacrifice because every day we walk by people that need to hear a word from God. God is speaking to us. God is telling us, you know what? Get outside of your comfort zone. Minister to that person. Give them this. Do that. Say hello. Smile. Help them out. That's a sacrifice. And we walk by them every day because we don't want to make the sacrifice. We're so caught up in ourselves. That's because we don't know who we are. We don't know the power we have. The power of life and death is in the tongue. We can speak something to somebody's life. We can speak to things that aren't as though they are. And people's lives will change. That's a sacrifice. I love it. That sign at the front door you got, Pastor Tom, what does it say? Enter into your what? Mission field. Man, the whole world is a mission field. The whole world, but it's a sacrifice. See, I heard you today talking about who's going to walk, who's going to go to the house, who's going to do this, who's going to do that. Well, that's a sacrifice. And we got to make the sacrifice because God honors that. The Bible says what? God loves a cheerful giver. Let me say that. But it goes on to say, if you keep reading down in chapter 9, it also says that God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency may abound in every good work. God is able. Whatever you need, guess what? God is able. Whatever you desire, guess what? God is able. God is able. God will get it done, but you got to know who you are and you got to know the power that we have. And then the third thing that happens in the sanctuary, as I said, is a place of celebration. I mean, think about it, man. I know I'm excited because I was going to be home in bed. I really was. I was going to be home in bed. I'm telling you, man, you can stand up here. You can be a preacher. You can be a teacher. You can be just a regular member. And the devil will work with you. I'm telling you, last I was supposed to have been down on the Eastern Shore with Alvin and Adrian Branch, and I couldn't make it. I couldn't make it. My body was tired. I didn't realize I was coming down with the flu because sometimes you get so caught up in what you're doing. I was sharing this with Pastor Tom and them when we were back there getting ready to pray. I'm sitting there talking to my assistant at the church on Friday. He's telling me about his mom is on life support. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I said, yeah, man, well, you know, I'm going to be praying for you. And I said something else, and he started laughing. And I said, what's wrong? He said, Pastor, I hope you don't think you was answering my question. I said, why you say that? He said, man, because you was asleep for 10 minutes. I was asleep for 10 minutes. I was in there actually knocked out for 10 minutes. I didn't even know it. That's how tired I was. I was asleep for 10 minutes. I woke up to him, yeah, man, I'll be praying for you. And he started laughing. He did. He just started laughing. He laughed. And I'm saying, man, what's so funny? He said, man, Pastor, I hope you don't think you answered my question because you were just asleep for 10 minutes. I was like, wow. So, you know, I'm excited to be here, because then I had to drive from New York to Baltimore, and I didn't have to make it. That's why I love that scripture. Say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continuously be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continuously be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continuously be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continuously be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continuously be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continuously be in my mouth. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continuously be in my mouth. You know what I found out about that scripture? Isn't that a great scripture, though? That's a great scripture. But you know what I found out about that scripture? This is what I found out about that scripture. That scripture ain't nothing but lip service. See, your mouth will say anything. I guarantee you right now, if I ask everybody to say, I will bless the Lord at all times, his praises shall continuously be in my mouth, I could get everybody here to say it. But what about when some trouble comes? Will you bless the Lord at all times? Will his praises be continuously in your mouth? What about when you got more bills than money? Will you bless the Lord at all times? Will his praises continue to be in your mouth? What about when you got sickness in your body? Will you bless the Lord at all times? Will his praises continuously be in your mouth? What it look like? What will it be if it seems like everything is going against you? Will you bless the Lord at all times? Will his praises continuously be in your mouth? See, that's lip service. Your mouth will say anything. See, I learned that, man, from being a pro athlete. That's something I learned. One of the things I love to do was talk trash. I love to talk trash. Now, I'm going to quote Muhammad Ali. I don't normally quote Muhammad Ali, but I'm going to quote Muhammad Ali right here. Here's what Muhammad Ali said. He said, it ain't trash if you can back it up. You see, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. Most of us can't back it up. We can, but we won't. See, I should love it. Before the game started, I'd never get it. When I was at the University of Wisconsin, we were playing UCLA. UCLA had an All-American safety named Kenny Easley. Wisconsin had an All-American tight end named Ray Sidnor. I'd never forget it. All week in the newspaper, we were talking trash. I was talking trash about how many touchdowns I'm going to catch, and he was talking trash about how he was going to shut me down. But like Muhammad Ali said, it ain't talking trash as long as you can back it up. And I want you to know that when the game came there, I never forget, it was the opening series of the game, and we were driving down the field. And when we were driving down the field, the next play, the coach called my number. See, when you play sports, you want the coach to call your number. Because, see, when the coach called your number, that means you're going to get the ball. So the coach called my number. I never forget. I was like, oh, the coach called my number. And so when I came out of the huddle, I had 87,000 fans. They were screaming. Seemed like everybody in the stadium knew I was going to get the ball. Man, I was excited. I had been talking trash all week. It's the moment of truth. I'm going to get a chance to back it up. So I come out of my stance, and I'm running down the field. And when I came down the field, I faked. And when I faked like this, guess what? Kenny Easley went for the fake. Oh, my God, listen. Kenny Easley, I fake like this. Kenny Easley went for the fake. Now, I got to tell you something. If you went for the fake against me, I ran a 4.440. You went for the fake against me, you were in trouble. You were in trouble. Look, I fake. Bam! And when I fake, Kenny Easley went for the fake. Oh, my God, did I tell y'all he went for the fake? And look, I was running outfield. Listen, look, I'm running outfield, and I'm doing my thing. And I got to let y'all in on a secret. I was looking good. Oh, my goodness. I'm running down the field. And when I'm running down the field, y'all, I'm telling you, I was looking good. 87,000 fans, they were screaming as I'm running down the field. The quarterback dropped back, and he threw me the ball. And everybody was screaming. Kenny Easley was falling behind me. And I went up to catch the ball, and I dropped it. I dropped it. Listen, I dropped the ball in front of 87,000 fans. And you see how y'all went, oh, can you imagine 87,000 fans screaming like that, oh. But I want to let y'all in on a secret. This is why celebration is so important. I'm going to let you in on a secret. It's not what happens to you. It's how you respond to what happens to you. See, sometimes in life, you're going to drop the ball. Will you bless the Lord at all times? Will his praises continue to be in your mouth? See, sometimes in life, when you drop the ball, do you know the devil talks to you differently than he does when you catch the ball? See, when you drop the ball, sometimes the devil tell you, you ain't good enough, you should have never been out there, and that God made a mistake. See, but I want you to know, in life, it's not what happens to you. It's how you respond to what happens to you. Because, see, sometimes in life, when you drop the ball, you can come out of that situation better than you were when you went in. Because sometimes when you drop the ball, it's a humbling experience. Sometimes when you drop the ball, guess what? You get more focused than you've ever been before. Sometimes when you drop the ball, you're in the school of hard knocks. Life may teach you a lesson that you'll never forget. So I dropped the ball. And here was the hardest thing. Not so much the 87,000 fans that was screaming, uh-huh, and all of that. But I had to go back to the huddle. And I had to look my teammates in the eye. And back then, we ain't had that saying, oh, my bad. I had to say, my fault. I was like, my fault. I messed up. I said, but give me the ball again. Give me the ball again, because, see, sometimes in life, man, you're going to drop the ball. Life ain't always a bowl of cherries. We don't always get it right. But, see, sometimes when people drop the ball is when they give up. That's not when you give up. That's the time you got to get up. And I didn't give up. I went back to the huddle. I said, listen, my fault, I messed up. But give me the ball again. And I want you to know that at that point I was focused. I was following one course until I was successful. I was focused. I was locked in. Matter of fact, now I was better now than I was before I dropped the ball. I want you to know I went back that same game and caught 3 more touchdowns. See, it's not what happens to you. It's how you respond to it. So I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. I had to bless the Lord right there. I had to thank God for what I went through. Because with the devil meant for evil, God can use it for good. See, sometimes we think because we dropped the ball, the God ain't working. We think the God ain't in this. That's what we think. But sometimes that's the very thing that God's in. God ain't just a God that's just going to give you everything you want. Sometimes he's going to give you what you need. And I needed to drop the ball. I needed to be humbled. Because I was full of myself. So I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Like I said, that's just lip service. Now, verse 2, it says, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Now you're talking. See, when you drop the ball, that's when your soul got to make its boast in the Lord. Let me tell you, here's your soul making its boast in the Lord. This is your soul making its boast in the Lord. Have you ever been like sitting in your car or at home or anywhere? And you think about the goodness of the Lord, and you just go, ooh. Has that ever happened to you? You just, ooh. You just think about how good God is. You go, ooh. I mean, that's your soul making its boast in the Lord. That's where the rubber meets the road. I'm saying, when I think of the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. See, that's your soul making its boast in the Lord. I'm talking about right now, the soul that's in the deep depth, that's where the rubber meets the road. See, that's when your soul make his boast in the Lord. I mean, you could be going through a light, and for some reason, you stop, and all of a sudden, a car shoots through. And then you say, whoo, that's your soul making his boast in the Lord. Because sometimes we say, something told me, ain't something tell you, the Holy Spirit told you to stop, pump your brakes. That's your soul making his boast in the Lord. See, and that's where the rubber meets the road, when your soul makes us boast in the Lord. I'm talking about that's where it's really deep down inside of you. Ain't nothing going on. Ain't nothing happening, good or bad. But you just start thinking about the goodness of the Lord, and your soul makes us boast in the Lord. Anybody's soul ever make us boast in the Lord? I'm talking about that's where the real deal is, when your soul makes us boast in the Lord. But you know, God is an exceedingly abundantly more God. So he went on to verse 3, and it says, oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So after I bless the Lord at all times, his praises shall continually be in my mouth, and then my soul make his boast to the Lord, and then I got to, oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. What am I saying? Listen, when I was a kid, you know, I was always an athlete ever since I can remember. But one day, my mom came home and gave me a magnifying glass. Hey, what in the world am I going to do with this? A magnifying glass. You know, I'm looking at it. And this is what she said. She said, take that and go get a book and put it on the words. And I did, and all of a sudden I saw that the words got bigger. They looked bigger. They didn't get bigger. They looked bigger. The same thing in this Christian walk. Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. What am I saying? See, a lot of times when we go through trials and tribulations, instead of magnifying the Lord, you know what we do? We magnify the problem. We don't magnify God. We magnify the situation. We magnify the devil. We magnify our trial. We magnify our tribulation. But the Word of God says, oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. See, God is bigger than anything that you're going to face. But here's the deal. When you start facing that thing, just imagine if David would have said, wow, look at Goliath. He's so big, but he didn't do that. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who comes against the Lord of hosts? He magnified the Lord. He didn't magnify the Goliath. We got to magnify the Lord. Whenever we come up against anything, if it's sickness, if it's financial burdens, listen to this. Everybody's talking about the financial crisis that we're going through right now, right? That's all, yeah, all on the news, everything. But listen, the earth economy does not affect the promises of God. If God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. So we got to magnify God in this situation, not magnify the situation. See, listen, here's what I found out about God. When we magnify the Lord in a situation, here's what he'll do. He'll turn your problem into your purpose. He'll turn your test into a what? Testimony. He'll turn your mess into a message. And he'll turn your trial into your triumph. See, oh, come and magnify the Lord. God is bigger than anything. But we get in situations, we don't magnify God, we magnify the thing. Instead of magnifying the problem, we magnify, instead of magnifying the problem solver, we magnify the problem. God is bigger than anything that you're ever going to face. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. I'm telling you, I know. I shouldn't be here. Should be dead. Some of the things that I've done in my life, some of the decisions I've made, even since I've been saved, I've made some poor decisions at times. I've made some good decisions too, but I've made some poor decisions that could have cost me my life. And not only that, the devil, you know he got a plan for me. I'm traveling all over the country, sharing the gospel all over the world. At Brooklyn Tabernacle, working with a youth ministry with 600 youth. You think the devil don't want to destroy me? And you think he don't send, he sends stuff our way? My wife and I, we go through stuff. But rather than magnify the stuff, we magnify him who's able to keep us from falling, the only wise God, our Savior. We magnify him. So, oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise clap. See, you're only going to do that when you know who you are. Know ye not that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Man, Christians, we go through the same thing that everybody else go through. The only difference is we go through it with the Lord. And when you got the Lord on your side, you can't lose. But you got to know it, because that's when you're preaching. See, anybody can stand up here and quote scripture and all of that kind of stuff. Anybody can do that. But here's what the world would rather do. The world would much rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. And I want you to know that you are the message that you carry. And you got to ask yourself, what message are you carrying? Amen. Give the Lord a praise clap. Now, you know, I shared all of that because the Lord laid it on my heart. And I'll be honest, I don't know if y'all feel better. I certainly do. I really do. I'll be honest with you. I needed it. I don't know if anybody else needed it. I don't know if anybody else got anything out of it. But I can tell you who did. That was me. I got a whole lot out of that, man, because the Lord was speaking to me. He really was. Because I've been struggling with some stuff, man, here lately. I have been. Man, it's been a very difficult challenge. I was telling Pastor Tom, you see, this is good. I told you, I'm in New York from Tuesday through Friday. I'm there Tuesday through Friday every week. And then Friday nights, typically, I come home to be with my family. And I do that drive so much, man, it's starting to take a toll on me. And then, not only that, you know, I just don't feel connected. Don't feel connected at home. Don't feel connected at church. Don't feel connected to the kids. You know, just don't feel connected. And I don't have to feel connected to be connected, but that's how the devil attacks you. And that's why I got to know who I am. You know, sometimes, man, when I come home with my wife and them, and it's really hard sometimes for me to really minister to them. We talk on the phone every day, but it's not the same as being there. Sometimes I'm in front of those kids in New York, man, And, you know, I don't be there like yesterday, man. They went to battle cry, and I got a million texts. Pastor, where you at? How come you're not here? You know, and stuff like that. And then, like, Friday night, I'm trying to rush out so I can get down to Eastern Shore to be with Alvin and Adrian Branch and those guys. And, you know, the devil just sometimes be just trying to kick my butt, man. And if I don't know who I am, man, I couldn't deal with this. I really couldn't. And I'm not saying, and when I say knowing who I am, know who I am in Christ. Remember, I told you, true identity in Christ will keep you connected to your purpose in Christ. Man, so it's been difficult, man. It's a great, great opportunity, man, but it's not without a cost. There's a sacrifice involved. It really is, man. And sometimes, I'm telling you, I told my wife last week, I just always believe in being real. I was ready to quit. I'm serious. Last week, I was like, baby, I don't know. I may not be able to do this anymore because that's how bad the devil was kicking my butt. And the only reason he was kicking my butt is because I was letting him. I was letting him. You see, when I say, oh, come and magnify the Lord with me, I'm telling you, man, I had to do that myself. I'm not telling you something I just read in the Bible, man. See, scripture ain't real until you live it. You got to live this thing, man. And so when you start preaching something like this, you know what the devil going to do? He's going to call you on it. You start saying you're a Christian, the devil going to say, okay, you're a Christian. Let's see if you're really a Christian. Try this. Boof. And then if you're not, you don't know who you are and you don't know who he is, you ain't going to make it. I don't care. You could be the most holiest person in the world, whoever that is. But if you don't live this thing, it ain't real. I'm telling you, man. I was ready to quit this week. I talked to Pastor Simba. I told him. Pastor Simba and I were together for 2 days this week just talking about stuff because I was getting my butt kicked. I'm not exempt. Give you 6'9", 300 pounds. The devil don't care about that. Care nothing about that. He want to know, where are you spiritually? That's what he want to know. How big are you spiritually? Okay, you know, because if this is my flesh, well, what about your spirit? So I said all that to say, then if you're in here today and you know you're going through something, how about this? How many people in here really know that they've been going through something and the devil been kicking their butt? Raise your hand. Be honest. I know I got my hand up. Okay, that's real. Listen. One thing that the devil doesn't like. See, remember, he's a prince of darkness. He don't want to be exposed to light. He don't want to be exposed, period. Because see, when you get exposed, you're in light. So, like, if you in there today and you know the devil been kicking your butt, man, he been kicking my butt. I had to go get some help. I had to go to somebody who I could share with. And it's not for everybody, you know. I mean, really, it's not something I would share at Brooklyn Tabernacle, to be honest with you. Just can't share all that stuff all the time to people. And God, I wasn't going to share it today, but God was like, go ahead and share it. So I'm sharing it. But the bottom line is you got to have somebody that you can talk to about it. Everybody needs accountability. Everybody needs a covering. Everybody. Me, pastor, everybody. Everybody needs that, man. The people that you can trust, that you can share your stuff with. Now, I hope I can share this with y'all and I don't hear about it in New York. I don't want to go to New York and they be like, man, I heard what you said down there, boy. Is that so? So I'm being real now. Because, you see, that's what we're supposed to do. I'm supposed to be able to share this stuff with y'all. And instead of criticizing anything, you should pray for me. Pray for my family. And I pray for you. So I'm saying that to say, now, man, if you raise your hand and you're struggling with something, here's what the Lord laid on my heart. If you're struggling with something, I want you to get out of your seat and I want you to come to the altar. I just want to pray with you. Because remember what I said earlier, that we're not going to bring it to the altar, we're going to lay it on the altar. And I saw hands go up. See, that's how the devil keeps us in bondage. Because see, we know we're going through stuff, we know we're living a defeated life, we know the devil kicking our butt, and we'll stay in our seat because of our pride and all of that kind of stuff. Now, I ain't got no pride when it comes to this. I didn't have to share that. But that's what the Lord told me to share with you guys. The Lord told me to share that and told me, you know what? That you're going to be able to help somebody. See, that's a sacrifice. It ain't about me. It's about him. And it's about us. Going through this thing victorious. And we got to get tired of living beneath our privilege. You know, and when we make a decision, listen, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to lay our stuff on the altar. We're going to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. And when we lay it on the altar, understand this. We're not going to take it back. Because here's what the devil going to want to do. When you lay it on the altar, here's what the devil going to say. He already said it to me. You lay it on the altar. Here's what the devil's going to do. He's going to try to give it back to you. He's going to try to tell you, man, please. Do you actually believe that you can lay that stuff on the altar right here and think that it's over? Well, I want you to know, it's over. Listen, here's what it says in Romans 4. It says, in Abraham, not being weak in faith, staggered not at the promises of God, because he knew he that gave the promise was able to perform the promise. Man, I'm convinced. I'm tired of the devil kicking our butt, man. We the head and not the tail. We above and not beneath. We got the power. And we living like we don't. Because we don't know who we are. We don't know who he is. Man, our God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have in all sufficiency may abound in every good work. Ain't nothing too hard for God. Nothing at all. So I want you to look. So I want you to do. Symbolically, I want you to lay your problem at the altar. Lay it on the altar right now. I mean, lay it there. Just lay it physically. Lay it on the altar. Lay it on the altar. Lay it on the altar right now. We're going to give it to God. God can handle it. We can. We're going to lay it on the altar right now. That's what we're going to do. And you know what? When we get up, God's going to throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. We're not going to take it back. And when the devil comes and try to give it back to us, we're going to refuse it. We're not going to take it back. That's what we're going to do. So is there anybody else? You struggling with something. You know you're struggling with something. The devil been kicking your butt. And you're tired. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. I know I'm sick and tired, man. If that's you, come on up to the altar right now. The only one that don't want you to come to the altar is the devil. The devil wants you to stay there stuck in your mess. The devil wants you to think that this can't work. Do you know that, listen, if you take one step, God will take two? Do you understand that? Do you know if you take one step, God will do the rest? See, that's why God asked the man, beautiful, when he asked me, he asked him a question. He said, do you want to be made whole? See, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to get out of your mess? Do you want to be all you can be? He like Cleve. Cleve's going into the army. He's going to be all he can be, man. But we're in the army of the Lord. You're not too young and you're not too old. If you're struggling with something, and you know you're struggling with something, and you want your breakthrough, it's at the altar. It is. Last chance before I pray. Last chance before I pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, you know I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Lord, we come right now, dear God, as humbly as we know how, to your altar. And Lord, we just asking, dear God, for your help. We landed at the altar right now, dear God, because we can't handle it. You said in your word, what shall we say to these things that are kicking our butt? What shall we say to these things, dear God, that are defeating us? What shall we say to these things, dear God, that are bigger than we can handle? What shall we say to these things than what we bargained for? You said, if God is for us, who can be against us? Can't no devil in hell defeat us. So Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every other name, the name where the power is, the name where our breakthrough is, the name where our deliverance is, the name, dear God, that set us free. In that name, Lord, we cast our cares upon you. Lord, we ask that you separate us from our sin. Consecrate us, dear God, from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. Anoint our head with oil, dear God. And Lord, as we lay on the altar, bringing our sacrifice to you, dear God. We ask that you breathe your breath of life in our life. Gird us up, dear God. Fortify us, dear God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Light a fire in us, dear God, that's never been in us before. Dear God, we want to give you more of us because you gave us all of you. You've done all that you can do, dear God. Then unlock that key in our heart and our mind, dear God, so that we can get a breakthrough. Loose us and set us free, dear God. Heal our bodies. Renew our mind. Renew a right spirit in us, dear God. And then, Lord, help us to get into a plan where we're training ourselves wisely, dear God, so we can live skillfully. Where we're reading our word, fellowshipping with believers, dear God, praying to you and trusting you. And Lord, we know just because we came to the altar doesn't mean that the devil's not going to try to attack us. We know that he's going to try to attack us. But Lord, we're going to submit to you so we can resist the devil, and the devil has to flee. Bless us, dear God. Guide us, dear God. Order our steps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, hug three people before you sit down. God bless you.